We're back in Hebrews chapter 11, again in verse 30. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Well, how much faith does it take to bless somebody? You know, you got the blessing, you're going to pass it on. How much faith does that take? Why did it take so much faith to bless Isaac and to bless Esau with a different blessing? You got a different blessing. You know that, right? Here's the prophecy. Before these kids were born, the prophecy was, and this is what the Lord said to Rebekah. The Eternal said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples will be separated from your body. The one people will be stronger than the other, and the older one, that is the first child. Now, these are twins, so how much older? A minute from birth? Whatever. The older one shall serve the younger. So here was the prophecy early on that Jacob, who came out second, holding on to Esau's ankle, would be the main one. Now, why was that so difficult for Isaac? Why did it take so much faith finally? Well, I'll tell you what the situation was. The situation could be summed up in chapter 25 and verse 28 of Genesis, in one verse. Now, Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. The father who loved Esau, the mother, Rebekah, who loved Jacob. These were their favorites. I don't know that they loved them. It doesn't mean they didn't love the other one, but it just meant that they were... The favorite for Rebekah was Jacob, the favorite for Isaac. And why did Isaac love Esau so much? He had a taste for game. That nice meat, boy. Esau's coming in. He's coming in with a deer. He's coming in with an antelope. He's coming in with something. He's coming in with some wonderful meat, gamey meat. I love it. So Esau wanted to give the blessing to, Isaac wanted to give the blessing to Esau. Now, Rebekah is an interesting person in the scripture, and I'm not going to do a full biography of Rebekah here, but Rebekah was very interesting, a beautiful woman. She's a beautiful woman. She was a cousin, you know. She was Laban's daughter. And he went over there and got, I think, Laban's sister, wasn't it? Anyhow, and he went over and married. So when after Sarah died, Abraham made his servant promise, don't let Isaac marry any of the women on this land. You got to take her. I want it in the family. He's going to marry a relative. So he took her over and he married Rebekah. Rebekah became his wife. Rebekah was beautiful, so beautiful that Isaac, when he was traveling, did the same thing his father did. Tell them you're my sister. They'll kill me for you. You're so beautiful, they'll take you away from me and they'll want to kill me for you. So if you tell them you're my sister, then you know they won't go after me. So tell them you're my sister. And that's what he did. And again, he deceived the person and said, why did you deceive me like that? Aren't you telling me? Because what they did, they saw him. He was, I think, in Egypt then, the land of the Philistines, one. And they saw him. They looked out the window and they saw him kissing her and sporting with her and caressing her. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, that's not a sister. So Isaac, you know, wanted to give the thing to Esau. Now, here's what Rebekah did. She overheard. You'll see it here in the book of Genesis chapter 27. And listen to what Rebekah did. Now, it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, and he was dim to see, that he had called his older son Esau and said to him, my son. And he said, here I am. And he said, behold, now I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your goat, take your gear, your quiver, your bow, go out in the field and hunt game for me. Still, he might be old, but he's still like that meat, Randy. Hunt some game for me and prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may sit so that my soul might bless you. I want to bless you before I die. I want to give you this blessing. It takes faith to believe that this blessing was something. And he had to believe it. So I want to bless you. But listen to how Rebecca is listening to this. Now, Rebecca must have known that prophecy. She must have known. I mean, the fact is, she knew the prophecy because the Eternal spoke to her. You remember in Genesis 25, verse 23, the Eternal said to her, The older shall serve the younger. The younger one is going to be the most blessed. So she, hearing Isaac, he's going to pass this blessing on to Esau. No, this cannot be. She orders Jacob, you go out, you get me one of your goats. I'm going to fix it for your father. You're going to go in there and you're going to do this. And Jacob said, well, I don't know. I mean, my brother is hairy. I'm not hairy. She said, just go and do it. Go get that goat. I'll fix it. And then Jacob is worried. He said, well, what if he finds out I'm not Esau? And instead of blessing me, he curses me. And listen to what she says. She says, the curse will be on me, my son. That's all in chapter 27 of Genesis. The curse, let their curse be on me. I'll take the curse for you. She loved Jacob. She wanted Jacob to get this. She wanted the fulfillment of the prophecy. And she was willing to have Jacob lie to his father, plain straight lie. Who are you? I'm Esau, your firstborn. He deceived Isaac. Isaac's blessing is found in Genesis chapter 27, dropping down to verse 27 and verse 29. So he came close. Now here's Jacob finally. He comes close to Isaac, and he blessed him. And when he smelled the smell of the garments, he blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is like the smell of the field which the Eternal has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and an abundance of grain and new wine. May peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. So he passes on this enormous blessing to him. Now it came about as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob had hardly gone, and who comes in? Here comes Esau into the room. Here I am. I've got the game. I'm going to prepare it. I got it ready. Then he said, I made this savory fruit and brought it. He brought it to his father. And Isaac said to him, well, who are you? He said, well, I'm Esau, your firstborn. And then Isaac starts to tremble. He is so upset. He starts to tremble. You see that in verse 33. Isaac trembled violently and said, well, who was he then that hunted game and brought it to me so that I am, so that I ate of it before you came and I blessed him? Here's what the faith is. Listen to this. And he shall be blessed. I've blessed him, and he will be blessed. No doubt about it. There's his faith in blessing. But Esau said, you remember what Esau said in verse 38? Esau said to his father, do you have just one blessing? Is that all you have? You only have one? Bless me too. You know, he starts to cry. Bless me too, my father. And he lifted up his voice and just cried and cried. I suppose part of that crying was trying to get Isaac, you know, can you get it back? You just have one blessing. Can you get some of this back and give it to me? Well, Isaac said he will be blessed. And so here's what Isaac said to him. Now you can imagine Imagine, put yourself in Isaac's place for a minute. You have wanted all, because you loved Esau. You loved the game. You loved the flesh. You loved the, you know, we have to be careful how much flesh we like. He loved the fleshly things. And he wanted to give this to Esau. This blessing was what he wanted to do. Inadvertently, he was deceived and he gave it to Jacob. But what he believed about that blessing, when I give it, it's the blessing God's going to give, and he shall be blessed. So the pressure, you know, by faith in God's word, he stood. You know, even though he really favored Esau, he said, I can't do it. He will be blessed. I'm not going to pull this back. I can't pull this back. I won't pull this back. So then Isaac, his father, answered Esau. He said, behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling. You won't be where everything is so fertile. And away from the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live. And your brother you shall serve. But it shall come about when you become restless that you will break his yoke from your neck. Here's the thing. You have a blessing for me? He says, this is what I can give you. And he lifted up his voice and he wept. Now, he didn't seem to weep. All of a sudden, he wants it. You know how in a couple of chapters before that, you see him selling his birthright. He comes in, he's hungry. And Jacob says, he said, let me have some of your soup. Let me have some of your stew, whatever that was, the porridge. And let me have some of it. And Jacob said, well, sell me your birthright. I'll give you this if you tell me you get the birthright. So on two different occasions, one, the prophecy that said Jacob was supposed to inherit it. And number two, he sold it. But now he wanted it back. I want it. And he couldn't get it. It appears, finally, that Isaac repented of his fleshly appetites with Esau. And he finally did, in this chapter, acknowledge Jacob as the rightful inheritor of the blessings and the covenant. Now, you have to understand this. Let's take a look. Isaac and Rebekah. Rebekah gets pregnant. She has twins inside her body. She gives birth to probably fraternal rather than identical twins, obviously. And two little babies born to Isaac and Rebekah. One of them, their children, will be the chosen Israelitish people. The other will be Gentiles, brothers. One brother's children will be Gentiles, will be called, they'll just be nations. They will be goy, according to the Hebrew word. They will not be the chosen people. Yet they were brothers in the womb. Blood brothers from the same father, from the same mother. What makes you a Gentile as opposed to an Israelite? You didn't inherit, your seed did not inherit the covenant blessings. That blessing of covenant that came from Abraham did not pass on to your genealogy, to your generations. Esau didn't get that blessing. Esau and his kids did not receive that blessing. They became Gentile peoples. And of course, you know Rebekah. She was pretty staunch in her way. She didn't like, I guess, Esau went out and married a girl, and it brought distress to both Isaac and Rebekah. You know, a daughter-in-law can just really bring a lot of problems to her mother-in-law and to the family. It can happen. And this girl brought distress. And it was so bad that she said, I want Jacob sent away, have him go back to Laban, go back to my family and find somebody. I don't want him marrying any of the girls in this area. I'm just distressed. She was so distressed with it. Interestingly, you don't see much about Rebekah after chapter 27, 28. It just her name falls out until you get way later in the chapters of Genesis. Way later, she just all of a sudden drops out. Her name just drops out of the narrative. So here's Esau begging, pleading. And so what does Hebrews say in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15? See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, so that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau. Esau evidently was immoral. I have given this message on this before. And godless. Immoral and godless. Who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Can I have it? For he was found, there was found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. No, well, I'm sorry, I want, give it to me. Yeah, nope, can't, it's too late. You know, Jesus talked about those who were thrown out. Throw out that worthless slave, he said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 30. Throw out that worthless slave into outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You don't think Esau wept? He wept sore, the Bible says. He wept so hard and crying and gnashing his teeth and angry with himself. He's angry with the world. He's angry with things. He was an immoral and godless person. Yet he was the brother to the man through whom the covenant promises, the Savior of the world would come, the genealogy that came right down to Jesus Christ himself. Yes, Isaac, as he passed through the land, he was blessed himself. And he owned not even an acre in this land. He was blessed in the land, even though he was passing through as a stranger. You see this passage in the book of Genesis, chapter 26. You'll see how much he was respected and what kind of a person Isaac really was, except for this little thing here. But he ended up evidently repenting and knowing, nope, it's got to be Jacob. It is Jacob. And evidently Esau's wife brought both, and the Bible says, brought both Isaac and Rebekah a great deal of grief. Genesis chapter 26, verse 23. Then he, Isaac, went up from there to Beersheba. The Eternal appeared to him in the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear. For I am with you, I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. So he was going to inherit the blessing and the blessings that came from Abraham. So he built an altar there, and he called upon the name of the Eternal and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar, and an advisor of Ahuzah and these other people, commander of his army. And in verse 37, Isaac said to them, why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you? And they said, this is Genesis 26, verse 28, we see plainly that the Eternal has been with you. So we said, let there be now an oath between us and between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you. Now, he must have had a wonderful example. He must have been a very nice, kind, and good person, Isaac himself. Let's make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm, and we will do you. We will not have touched you and have done you nothing but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Eternal. All these people calling Isaac the blessed of the Eternal. Then he made a feast, and there they ate and they drank. In Isaac shall your seed be called. And it went through Isaac, and it went through then Jacob. It took Isaac a little while to recognize that. But I think at the end, by faith, he blessed both Jacob, and then he blessed Esau with a certain blessing in a certain way that he got. This is your inheritance. This is what you're going to have. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's drop down to, and by the way, you notice that it says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. I give you a blessing. I have to have faith that God is going to fulfill this blessing to you in the future, things to come. Things which, what did we say in Hebrews? What's the definition of faith? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Didn't see it, but he believed it. So he blessed. Let's read verse 21. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying. Now, some places say when he was ill, but the Hebrew word can mean weak. He was very weak, and he was worshiping God, evidently leaning on his staff. This phrase, leaning on his staff, is a direct quote from the Septuagint version of the Bible. The Septuagint, remember, is the Greek translation by many of the Jewish scholars back in Alexandria, Egypt, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. The New Testament quotes the Septuagint time and time and time again, and this is one of the passages. The Masoretic text, which the Jews now have, the oldest Masoretic text came about is that we have in existence was 900 A.D. 900 A.D. is the oldest Masoretic text in existence. The oldest New Testament texts go back to the 100s, the second century. We have copies of the book of John in the second century. And then you have these other copies that were copied and so on. Here's what the Masoretic text says. It says, he bowed at the head of his bed. He bowed at the head of his bed. Now, the Hebrew word for bed and staff are identical because there are no vowels, no vowel points. Later on, Jewish scholars put in vowel points to say, okay, that doesn't mean this. Because in the original Hebrew, there are no vowel points. There are just consonants. So the consonants for this are M-T-H. I mean, transliterating the Hebrew letters. M-T and H. And later they put in vowel points. The Septuagint reads the words M-T-H as mata, which means a staff or a rod, and interprets this to mean that Jacob bowed down to worship while leaning on top of his staff. I want to worship God. Now, at this point, he was very, very old, okay? Very old. So from the Old Testament context, Jacob is in some way recognizing the fulfillment of Joseph's dream. Remember Joseph's dream? Joseph said, well, I have a dream that all you were bowing down to me. And Jacob is the father. Oh, are you expecting us, everyone, including me, bow down to you? But at the end of his life, it appears that he was saying, I guess we do bow down to you, Joseph. I guess. And he leans on his staff to kind of show that he recognizes what had happened. Because Joseph became the deliverer, in a sense, of his people. Remember, he delivered his people. He delivered them from the famine. He delivered them, put them into Egypt. He was the guy that saved them from the famine. Go back and tell my father, bring him back after he was sent away and all the things that happened to Joseph. Genesis 37, verse 10. He related it, this is the part, he related it to his father and to his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come and bow ourselves before you, bow toward you, toward the ground? Are we supposed to bow down toward you?" That's in Genesis 37:10. Genesis 48. So by the way, New Testament, the Apostle Paul, if he's the one who wrote Hebrews, Paul quoted from the Septuagint, not what we have in the Masoretic text. And many people think that the Septuagint was really what the Masoretic text was trying to say back then. It meant staff. Genesis chapter 48, verse 1. Now it came about after these things that Joseph was told, "Behold, your father is sick." Now, the word sick, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. The New American Standard Version says sick. That Hebrew word can mean ill, sick, or weak. And here's how some of the other translations make it, and I think they are more correct. The New English Bible says, "After these things, Joseph was told, 'Your father is weakening.' So he sent his two sons, you know, Ephraim and Manasseh, with him." In the complete the Common English Bible, it says, "After this happened, Joseph was told, 'Your father is getting weaker.'" Now, I don't know that he had a disease. He said, "You know, we are created mortal." Okay? We're created mortal. We are created mortal to die. Everybody who that you see is going to die sooner or later. There's just no, every dog is going to die. Every chicken is going to die. Every cow is going to die. Every deer, if you don't shoot the deer, you think they're going to live? No, they're going to die. Some of them will starve and they'll be eaten by wolves or something else. But they're all going to die. We're all more. All this thing is mortal. We have a mortal life. This is the transitory, temporary life. We weaken. As we get older, certain things happen to us. We finally, our thyroid, our other glands, they finally weaken. We get older and we just weaken to the place. My mother used to have this expression. She said it over and over and over. It's a great life if you don't weaken. She used to use that term. It's a great life if you don't weaken. But sooner or later, you weaken. Sooner or later, she weakened. My dad, who was a very strong man in his youth, I saw him. He got weaker and weaker, you know, where he couldn't, you know. He would always pick up things. And finally, I said, "Dad, let me get that suitcase." He said, "Oh, okay. You know, let me get it." And he said, "Oh, okay." Sooner or later, he didn't have the strength to lift the things that he wanted to lift. Now, it just happens. It's not something, a fault of anybody's. It's nothing that you can prevent. Eventually, we weaken. Here was this great guy. Jacob was weakening. And Joseph was told, "Your father is getting weaker." So in this chapter of Hebrews, it is emphasizing, you know, all the, by the way, in Hebrews, this chapter of chapter 11, it's emphasizing all the positive things about these men. You notice it doesn't take anything negative about Abraham, anything negative about Isaac, anything negative about Jacob, anything negative about anybody. It's all positive things. Even Moses, you know, Moses didn't want to circumcise, and his wife said, "You're a bloody husband to me, you wouldn't circumcise us." And so none of those negative things are brought out in Hebrews. Hebrews is trying to encourage Jewish people at the time, the Jewish Christians, in Jerusalem area, stay fast. Look at these men. You have a great heritage of men of faith. Here's Jacob. Jacob's first blessing is in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 14. Here comes Joseph now with his sons. "Your father is weakening." Joseph brings two sons. Now these sons were born in Egypt. From, I suppose, an Egyptian wife. Because, you know, Joseph went down there by himself. He didn't have any of his brothers and sisters. Who's he going to have? So his sons were born. And he brings them in front of Jacob. And evidently Manasseh was the older and Ephraim was the younger. So he starts to reach out his hand and he puts his hand on Manasseh, and Joseph kind of moved them from one side to the other, and so Jacob crosses his hands and he still puts his right hand on Ephraim's head, left hand on Manasseh's head. And you read it in Genesis chapter 48, verse 14. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, although Manasseh was the firstborn. He put his right hand, had to cross his hands, because the way Joseph put them in front of Jacob, he put Manasseh on the right, but he crossed his hands. Genesis 48, verse 5. Listen to what he says. Now, your two sons, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt. They were born in the land of Egypt. So Jacob never saw these kids till he finally came down. Here's Joseph all this time. Remember Joseph's rise. What is Joseph? Joseph was sold. He went into being sold as a slave. He was auctioned off. He got into Potiphar's house, and then he got thrown in jail when Potiphar's wife tried to get him, and he resisted. And then she said, you know, he tried to get me, and then they threw Joseph in jail for two more years, and then he gets out. And then he rises, because he's able to interpret dreams, he rises to a very high position in Egypt. And in those seven years of famine, he says, we're going to have 7 years of famine following 7 years of unbelievable great crops. What we got to do is save this stuff. Pharaoh points him over the whole thing. During that time, he must have gotten married, and he had children, Ephraim and Manasseh. And so he says, this is what Jacob is saying to him. Now, your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt are mine. Now, Joseph was his favorite. You remember that. Joseph, because Joseph was born from Rachel, who was his favorite wife. Joseph was Jacob's very favorite son. He lost him. He lost him for a long time. He thought he was dead. They all did for a while. I don't know what happened to him. But his brothers now, he revealed himself to his brothers. He brought them down. He was a big shot now in Egypt, really. And he brought them down. And so he said, these sons are mine. Listen to this phrase. Ephraim and Manasseh are mine as much, in other words, as Reuben and Simeon are mine. They're going to be my sons. Your sons are now my sons. I've elevated them, not grandsons, I've elevated them to the status of sons. Of the 12 sons of Israel, I've elevated them to the status of sons. And sure enough, they obtained the status of sons. You know, when they were going to number Israel, they had to have different sons, different people. Help us number how many people we got in each tribe. Well, you read in Numbers 1 and verse 10, the sons of Joseph, Ephraim, from the sons of Joseph, Ephraim, this other guy, Elishama, and he was the son, and of Manasseh, you had this other guy, Pedazur, whatever his name is. These two guys were chosen to number Ephraim and Manasseh's tribe. All through, when Israel numbered the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, they were numbered separately. So you see it in Numbers chapter 1 and verse 31. The sons of Joseph, namely the sons of Ephraim, their genealogical registration by their families were these. This is Numbers 1, verse 32. And in verse 35, their numbered men of the tribe of Manasseh was 32,200. So they were numbering how many people in these different tribes. Where are they going to put them? So Ephraim and Manasseh, they were Joseph's kids. They each were considered a full tribe. Each of them got a separate, complete inheritance of land. So Joseph had twice as big an area as anybody else. You remember when the spies were selected to go into the land? Remember they wanted spies from each of the tribes? Well, look at Numbers 13, verse 8. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, that we now know as Joshua, the son of Nun, was chosen. From the tribe of Joshua was an Ephraimite. And from the tribe of Joseph, the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, the son of Susi. But now Gadai became one of the ones that did not think the land was good. He came back with a bad report. He was in the tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Ephraim coming from Joshua. Joshua came back with a good report, he and Caleb from the tribe of Judah. So when they were numbered, you know, the second time in the book of Numbers chapter 28, again, you see, these are the families of Manasseh, and those who were numbered were 52,000. And in Numbers 28, verse 37, these are the families of the sons of Ephraim, according to those who were numbered 32,500. These are the sons of Joseph. So if you want to say, here's Joseph's tribes, Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, these big areas that they inherited, they each inherited because they were each considered, Jacob said, they're like my sons. Each one of them is going to be my son. So that, in a sense, Joseph gets what? A double portion. Every other tribe gets one thing for their tribe. Joseph, the son, gets two portions. And Joseph had to show a lot of faith too. Now, in our next message, if you look back here at Hebrews chapter 11 again, and you see that first part, Hebrews 11 and verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and worshipped leaning on his staff. This guy wanted to worship God, and he also wanted to bow down, in a sense, to Joseph. He was willing to do it. He couldn't do it physically without help. He had to have a staff to hold him. I'm going to bow down if I can hold on to this. If I don't hold on to this, I'll probably fall. But notice the next verse, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel, who gave orders concerning his bones. Jacob blessed Joseph. But you'll see that Joseph also had tremendous amounts of faith. And we'll talk about that, because he could see into the future of what God was going to do. He believed it. He believed God's word. He followed God's word. He was a man of tremendous faith. And we'll talk more about that in our next sermon.